When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, everyone. I'm Devin Simone.
And I am Davon Rogers. And this is MTV's official challenge podcast. Yes.
Ooh, it is the official challenge podcast with so much going on in the podcast, on the show, the Twitter streets, all the places. Let's give a quick reminder of what happened this week, because y'all know with TJ on his chaos thing, it's just a lot going on. So this week we had the challenge Tower of Power, where they use rubble to block each other from getting to the top of the tower. We have the orange team win. We have poor Kylan's face lose. The guys, we had Jay, Corey, Emmanuel, and James, and we had Berna, Mariah, Raven, Zara, and Nerys for the girls on the winning team. Shout out to the winning team. Now, they vote in. They have to vote in one girl. They vote in Melissa. Surprise, surprise. And then the house votes in Big T. Also, surprise, surprise. If you can't hear the sarcasm in my voice, go back and replay it again. Then we have the draw. For the mercenary, we have, now y'all know when you saw the bun start moving in the shadows, you already knew he was going to be the one and only Casey Clark, aka Nani's fiance. Shout out to them both. Woo. Casey comes out. Big T and Melissa are happy because they have friends, right? Like, they know that they're friends with Casey, which is really great to see. I'm hoping that Casey draws, you know, the chaos battalion. Unfortunately, she doesn't. She draws Big T. Super sad. I think everyone's really sad. That means it's going to be Casey versus Big T. The elimination is Pole and the Storm, because TJ just added the words "in the storm" because it happened to be raining. Cool, TJ. We see what you did there. Well, ultimately, it was actually a pretty tight call for it being a champ versus a non-champ. First round goes to Casey. Second round goes to Big T. But ultimately, Casey pulls out the win and sends Big T home. Not only does she send Big T home, she's taking $10,000 from the team's prize pot. So sad to see Big T leave, but wow, what an episode. Day, what are your thoughts about this week's episode?
This episode was so good. I was jaw on the floor because I didn't understand why my Kylan, this rope.
Oh, that Kylan was painful to watch.
Like, and in his mind, I really believe he was like, I got to get this done. I think it was, he created this pressure for himself that he wasn't necessarily there. And so he created this pressure for himself to do this rope thing, and it just went terribly bad. And then he gets hit in the face with the chains. And it just, it was not a great episode for my friend Kylan. It was not a great episode.
He handled that like a champ, though. My God. The amount of blood, Yes.
It was not good. It was not good. But seeing my girl, let me tell you something. I'm going to stand beside her all day. Big T, I'm going to stand beside her. Seeing her go toe-to-toe with Casey and was hanging.
Yes.
She was hanging. And she I'm just so proud. Big T, girl, I'm just so proud of you. I'm so, so, so proud of you. And Casey came and did what needed to be done. Took another 10th out. They losing money. I think Michelle said eventually they're going to start owing money.
They really are. They really are at this rate. And yes, it was beautiful to see for Big T. I feel like this has been Big T season in a way. And I am just here for it. I also feel like this is the perfect real, like, pivotal point for her. You know, when TJ said, I believe you'll be a champ one day, you know, like, I believe you're going to come back. Like, I am rooting for that to happen. Let's make that happen. So rooting for Big T. If we had to do sit downs of the week and we had to do gold star of the week, I'd say that my sit down of the week is actually going to have to go It's going to have to go to Melissa. We don't throw things. Yeah. We learn that in pre-K. And then we're reminded of it usually yearly. But you just don't throw. I understand being mad. I understand someone pissing you off. But just don't. Yeah. Just don't. We're better than that. Don't do that. It's not good. And then pour a soft shirt. I mean, his shirt didn't do anything to deserve getting red wine on it. So that was just a lose. That's who my timeout of the week is. My gold star, Big T. She is a champ in my mind.
Yeah.
Everything that she did this season, even going toe-to-toe with Casey. We love you, Big T. Cannot wait to see you come back. I'm so glad that you're not officially retired. And I believe she has everything it takes to get a win one day. What about you, Day?
So time out of the week, of course, it's going to go to Melissa as well. I gave it to her last week for not knowing how to keep her feet to herself. And so I'm going to give it to her right again. Like, baby, we don't throw stuff. Like, you got to control yourself a little better. Mm-hmm. And then my gold star, for the first time, like you, I have contenders, okay? I have contenders. And so I have Asaf because I appreciated the entire Ross dress for less. I thought it was so cute. It showed him in a very genuine, almost innocent spotlight. Also, Jay, the way he tied these chains, okay? The way he worked hard and tied them chains, and then his whole thing about getting this money for his mother. You know, I'm a sucker for it. I am a sucker for a man who talk about his mama. Love that. Emmanuel, gameplay. I'm starting to watch him, and I'm noticing, like, my eyes are starting to drift to watch how he's playing this game. His gameplay is starting to take a shift, and I feel like he's going to be in this thing for a while. Olivia, I don't know what it is about this season, but she's becoming the confessional queen this season. You notice how many confessionals she's done?
Yeah.
She's
not if I give her confessional queen title.
She's talking a lot. She's talking a lot this
season. But talking
season.
A lot, but talking good, like, sound bites.
Okay, so let's,
so
let's say
like
confessional count
things.
Queen. Let's say confessional count queen.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Yeah.
She's getting the count. She done
got
sure.
Count. But, you know, talking a lot and giving good, giving dress for less sound bites are two different things.
She's getting a big count this season. And then, of course, our girl, Big T. At the end of the day, my winner is going to go to Big T, for sure. She came, she saw, she conquered one task, and that was to show that she can potentially become a champ. And I really believe that, and I hope that for her. So, yeah, my ultimate winner for my gold star would be Big T.
Not you running just on a confessional count. You know what?
I pay attention.
Offline.
You know,
it's not
that's my bread and butter, so I got to watch who my competition is.
Who's funny? They pick good storytellers, but then they also pick people who are funny and give one-liners. And the funniness, I feel like, stands out more than anything. Not that Olivia's not funny, but Asaf has been rocking. Even Jay has been saying some stuff that's kind of hilarious sometimes, like in his confessionals. I feel like we should start
Jay, really?
That better. Jay did, what did he say? He was talking about somebody's strategy a couple weeks ago that was hilarious, what he was trying to explain. Oh, and by the way, Jay's theory this week when he was trying to explain the untying the necklace, but then it's deeper than tying that, like, you know what? You know what? Anyway, all exactly, Day. Exactly. Like, and everybody in his team tried to rally behind him. Like, they were all like, yeah, yeah, like that.
Had
that
no clue.
Sounds good. They
no
had
clue.
Not a clue. Not a clue. Also good. You guys have no clue what's in store for you this week. We finally have him on. I respect the fact that he's ready. He's going to come and step into the heat. And he's going to talk about his gameplay this season, his strategy, his commentary, everything. We have a wonderful interview with the probably one of the messiest people this season, the Corey Lay. He's going to talk about his sit down of the weeks and how many of those he's accumulated, all of that. So grab your snacks. It's going to be a great listen, and stay tuned because right after this, we have Corey Lay coming up.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
All right, friends and cousins and them and everybody else that's listening to this podcast, I have to say this is my most anticipated guest, and I'm so glad that he came to hang out with us. Give it up one time for Corey. Corey is here. Corey Lane.
Hello. I've been anticipating this too. I think it's been very obvious. You know, there's some criticism about some of the things I've done in this season. And I'm happy to talk about it. You know, the highs, the lows, criticisms, whatever. I'd be the first to admit to everyone that some of the decisions I made, I would not make again. But happy to jump into whatever we need to jump into.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's dive on right into it. Because before we even get into this episode, I want to take it back. Okay.
Let's go
back to last week's episode, baby. What happened? Specifically, deliberation. What happened?
Yeah, so to give you guys the honest truth, I was trying to play both sides of the house, right? I was trying to, because I did build a strong personal connection to Big T and Melissa over the course of, you know, this point of the season. My quote-unquote American Alliance, or whatever you want to call that group of people, they caught wind of it, and they were like, we can't trust Corey. We don't know where he stands. Michelle told me before that nomination that it was going to be me. And she's the one person who knew that I was getting information from Big T and Melissa to share to the Alliance. I think one of my issues was that I didn't share that with a lot of people. But anyway, fast forward. I made it sound harsher than I was actually doing it, because I knew if I didn't just put a line in the sand and unfortunately throw Big T and Melissa under the bus, I would have a really big number of people that were going to be coming after me day after day after day. And I made the decision that I'm going to burn two people to gain back the larger number of people because of me getting caught playing both sides. That was my fault. And then I basically lied about it and tried to spin it so that my alliance would trust me again. So that's how that happened. And it wasn't fair, you know, it wasn't fair.
Do you feel bad about how hard you went? Because I know you said that ultimately you threw them under the bus because you're trying to kind of pivot. And I appreciate you acknowledging that. Do you feel at all sort of guilt? Because not only did you throw them under the bus, Corey, but it seemed almost like you threw them under the bus and then you ran over them and then you like put it in reverse and forward and then you like went over them again a couple of times. Like it was pretty, and I was just like, who is this Corey? Like, what is happening? So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I do. And I wish they had shown it, but before Big T left, we did talk. I had a conversation with her in the club. And one of the biggest things that I know I made a mistake doing is that I'm a gamer. In real life, I play a lot of video games. I play a lot of strategy games, a lot of board games. And I do really cut those things in those games because it's not against real people. And I think coming into this game, I saw it as this is just another one of the video games I play. And I did not take into account that I was actually going to be hurting people's feelings. And that's something that I own. And I know that's a mistake. And so I apologized to her in the club. And I told her, like, I'm sorry for dehumanizing you and making you just be a pawn in my game. And that's not fair, because I ultimately, you know, I was happy to be there for her multiple times in the season when she decided to share her coming out story to the world. I know what that feels like.
Yeah, because we saw a clip of that. And that just seems so opposite and of you reacted.
And I know that I know some of the concerns in Big T side is, you know, was that real from Corey, was that not real? And you know, I got backed into a corner. And when I'm backed into a corner, I don't make great decisions. And me not making great decisions, I was very short-sighted. I'm like, how can I win my alliance back? But I didn't take into consideration how that is going to hurt another right. person who's right. very close to me, or, you know, or was close to me at the time. So, like, I don't want to pretend that yeah. the way that I went about things was correct. I think I saw this as a game only, mm-hmm. and I did not take into consideration how I was going to be affecting other people, and I do feel bad. Yeah. And I did communicate this to Big T, yeah. and I, yeah, I don't know, I, that's no, all I can say. Is, yeah. and I, there's some people who won't believe me, but, like, it's the honest truth. Like, it's multiple people, like, there's two people on this season who don't like me. It's Big mm-hmm. T and Melissa. Everybody else can attest to that I am genuine. I am honest. I try my best. I make mistakes, and I own up to them, and I hope I don't make them again.
Well, here's the question, Corey, because I know Dave just yeah. took it back to, like, last week's episode, and I really do appreciate, because, yeah. yes, yeah. look, we were 100% side-eyeing. I'm definitely sure you got some of the sit-down of the weeks in past episodes on this podcast. We were side-eyeing your yeah. gameplay. But even before last week's episode, weeks prior, we sort of see, because we had Big T on, where it seemed like she felt betrayed once again. So while I hear you in the apologizing, and I feel like that yeah. seems more in line with the Corey who, you know, I don't know you
yeah,
super well,
you
but I know
we spent time together.
Yeah, and I was telling yeah. Day, I was yeah. like, we had a great time. Like, we grabbed drinks at the hotel. Like, it was a great time. He seemed wonderful. And so it was really hard to reconcile. But given that you've done it, not just in last week's episode, but that you've done it mm-hmm. before, can you walk us through maybe a little bit more, like, just the
yeah,
thought process
no,
like,
we can take
season.
It all the way yeah. back. Because in episode one, you know, there's the moment when it's the girls' day, and
right.
everyone is trying to decide who do we want to throw in. Multiple names are thrown out. I think most people are deliberating between Melissa and Big T and mm-hmm. Berna at that point. Mm-hmm. So Berna, to me, extremely close friend. I've known her for 2 years. We talk a lot. And I don't know how in episode one, it gets so pent up on me, like, oh, Corey is gunning after Big T. Mm-hmm. When I walk into a room where there's three men talking about who to vote in, they're talking about Big T. I join that conversation and I say, if we go down this path, it's smart because this is getting missed by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I give her a lot of credit and I say, Big T is smart. She's good at this game. And I give her a lot of credit that the longer she's here, because I know she's smart and mm-hmm. social, she's mm-hmm. going to be able to build a large alliance. And yeah. I that was my point, is like, hey, if we're going to do this, I think it makes sense because she's smart. I didn't say yeah. anything bad about her, or I didn't make anything personal. One of the lessons I learned from this season is I came in mm-hmm. connected to a bunch of people mm-hmm. that I didn't even really know. And I was connected to them because Michelle was my number one coming in and I wasn't her number one. Right. Which puts me in a lot yes. of really bad situations because yes. she's not willing to protect me the way she protect Jay. I know that.
Yes.
That was a
yep.
mistake. And I wish that I would have been able to work with people that I was connecting to on a more personal level instead of the people mm-hmm. that I was on paper aligned with. And Big T and Melissa were people that on a personal level, I connected to them a lot faster, a lot closer, a lot sooner than some other people in my alliance. Mm-hmm. But I felt so beholden to aligning Michelle with the ride or dies people
yeah,
because
yeah.
of Michelle. And so yeah. honestly, I don't want to blame Michelle for what I did at all, mm-hmm. but I felt like I had no options. And in mm-hmm. the beginning, the house deciding who to vote for, the girls were already saying Big T Melissa, the guys mm-hmm. were already saying it. I said, if we're going to do this, it makes sense because she's smart. And I mm-hmm. gave her a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. I think there's some opinion in the internet that I actually don't like Big T as a person. That's the opposite of the truth. And I don't think I've ever said anything.
It does.
But I've never said anything against her character. I've never said she's a bad person. I've never yeah. said that she, I never called her out of her name. I've never said anything actually negative. My one thing I say in this early on in episode one is that she's smart, she's social. So longer she's here, the bigger she's a threat. Yeah. And that's, I will give her credit. Because that's scary to me because I'm not good at those things, as we
right.
see. I'm not good socially. I'm not good politically.
A lot of y'all this season really weren't great at it, Corey. So don't feel bad.
Oh, my gosh. No, I know.
so
There's
many
so
people.
Much when I watch this. So, yes, I'm sneaky, but at least I own up to it. But I watch this. Everyone is being sneaky. Everyone yeah. has secret alliances.
Everyone's
like, Emmanuel told Kylan, oh, let's work together. 3 seconds later, oh, I'm still gunning for him. Like, yeah, so I understand how a lot of it's coming on me. But we were all kind of messy. We're all kind of stupid. But I do think, you know, if I do come back for another season, the people I connect with personally are the people that I will align myself with. I'm not just going to show up and suddenly be like, oh, I'm working with these 12 people because this person who that, well, I'm not even their number one, but they're my number one, is telling me that I should.
I'm so glad that you brought that up about Michelle and Jay and the loyalty there, because hindsight 2020, right? Looking back at it, was it worth it? Was it worth it? The whole situation.
I mean, I don't know.
Even to have Michelle turn to you after that whole spiel of you trying to save your face in front of your alliance, for Michelle to turn to you, look you right in the face,
right,
and say, I'm still going to vote for you. So I'm going to say,
right.
How was that? How did that feel?
Yeah, I felt stuck. There was nothing I could do. Like, I either had to stay with these people who aren't ultimately going to have my back if push comes to shove, or I defect to the other side and they're still going to vote me out anyway. So it's like, I honestly didn't know what to do. I felt like I was being a rock in a hard place, and me being in that place made me discredit Big T and Melissa as people. And like I 1000%, I don't want to defend what I did and how I treated them. I will say that initially me wanting to vote them in had to do with me being afraid of Big T and how strong she is socially. And then it became a thing where it's easier to keep saying the same person's name over and over again.
And
the girls in my
group.
Alliance are already saying it. I might as well go with them. You know, I wish I had more of a backbone sometimes and didn't do those things. Because there's plenty of opportunities. Like, me and Raven are often sometimes floating around the outside of this American alliance. And I think in hindsight, we could have trusted each other and worked with each other because we were in the same position and we're both actually not bad competitors in the game. And so I think Raven and I could have been on the outskirts and built like this little outsider alliance or something. I mean, even Kylan wasn't really embedded into the American group as much as like Jay was, or Michelle. I mean, Michelle and Jay were the top of the pyramid. Everybody knows that.
And nobody tried to knock them off. I don't, at no point was that a conversation. Nobody wanted to say, you know what, let's just shoot the snake at the head.
It's very intimidating, because if you miss it, and the way that the chaos format was, you shoot somebody, and I learned this hard with Asaf, you take a shot. And we can talk about that too, about the Asaf thing.
But, we're definitely going to talk about you already know, Corey. You already know we were going to let that slip.
Right. But no, it's like, you knew if you take a big shot. Like, I wanted to say Horacio for a long time. The problem is, Horacio is now hooking up with Nerese, who's super well connected. Yeah. Olivia is his ride or die, super well connected. If you take a shot at that man, half the house, who's capable of winning daily challenges, is probably going to win and vote you out. So, like, it was a very tight rope to be on. And I just felt stuck a lot of the time. That, I mean, Colleen felt this way too at times, is we had to fight for an alliance that was not going to fight for us. And because of that, we were somewhat forced into shitty situations. But yeah, I don't know what else to say other than, like, I personally do not have a problem with Big T and Melissa. The one thing that I wish that I could have communicated better is, and I know there were, like, Melissa tweeted us a couple weeks ago or a month ago at this point, that, you know, I was there for Big T when she was coming out, and then like X amount of days later, I was going against them in a nomination. And so it made it seem disingenuous. And like, the one thing that's more important to me than anything, and why I'm even on this show, is because I want to see queer people succeed and be represented and do well. And so I hate the fact that, like, the one reason that I go on these shows for is being questioned by my decisions. And I will tell you guys that I'm reflecting on me. Like, why did I make those decisions? And like, the beauty of this show in general is you can come back over and over again, and you can hopefully play a better game. And like, you know, I made mistakes. This is the second time. Like, I came from a weird dating show that's not even on TV anymore. I never put in these situations where I have to do hard things, and it's a lot of money to win. So I was also clouded by that.
Do you how do you feel it was similar and different? Because I feel like we spoke about this on the Challenge Aftermath.
With Huey,
exactly, right? And where we saw this thing where Huey ultimately was like, hey, bro, we could have been aligned because we share this sort of mission, right? And wanting to be a representation both positively and supportive of one another. And you guys made up in that moment, which was beautiful to see, but it seemed like you had some regrets around how you targeted Huey then. What similarities, because I feel like I see some between your gameplay this season and that season, and then what things do you feel you did differently, if any, in trying to make good on that promise to Huey or that sort of commitment back then of wanting to do better next go round? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, with me and Huey, like, you know, I came in like, that's my brother. I will not say his name. And even when there was the deliberation, when him and I were both the names up, I didn't rally for Huey. I was like, you guys make your decisions. I'm not going to tell you not to vote for me over and then vote for Huey.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just sat back and I, you know, me and Huey had conversations and I said, if I have to go in because I didn't throw you under the bus, I'll go in because like that's a line in the sand I will not cross ever again. And I think when it comes to the Big T stuff is I felt like I had no options just because on day one I showed up and I was aligned with Michelle's group. And I wish I didn't put myself in that situation because then I'm telling you now, I would have aligned with Big T and Melissa. The problem was I knew if I did that, there's what, 12 people in this other alliance that are over half the house that are gonna turn on me. And it was hard. And that's part of me where, you know, if I come back, do this again, I am not doing that again. I may have a number one, maybe one guy, one girl, whatever, people that I actually genuinely have known for years. But like I met Mariah, Raven, Nerys, Asaf, all these people I met the day I showed up and I'm supposed to be in this. I'm supposed to be in this like untethered or this alliance with these people. They don't know me. I don't know them.
But did Asaf know that? Because he sure looked hurt in that moment. And then the Corey, the way you were like, I met you 2 weeks ago. I mean, right. He was like crying like you were going to be like the best man, you know, his child's godfather. And then you were like, I met you 2 weeks ago. I was like, damn, Corey, that was cold. That was so cold. Walk us through. Like, had you guys bonded a little bit or like?
Yes, we were. The thing that's so interesting is like, no one's guards were up because we're all pretty new at this. So we all just became really close friends.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell, I think, but a lot of us were very close. We hung out. I mean, you know, we lived together. We lived like, right, all of that. I had never had a conversation with Asaf where I said, I'm never going to say your name. So I didn't expect him to have that expectation of me.
Interesting.
And I will also note, he called me his best friend. I never said those words. I never said Asaf is my best friend. Not to say that I don't think I was close to him. I'm not like, you know, but it's like, I can go down the list of like, I didn't want to say James because James and I are built similarly. We're the largest people in the house. And I figured if I'm going to go to a final, I want someone there that is physically comparable to me because his endurance might be the same as mine or, you know, probably not as good since I've seen some eliminations. But yeah, so that's more equal to me, a competitor. People like Horacio Emmanuel weigh half as much as me and run marathons and stuff for fun. So not going to say him, he's not in my alliance. Callum is booed up with Michelle. Kieran is who I wanted to say, who's booed up with Raven. And then I was working with, I don't think I do a good job explaining this, but there was a Spies, Lies, and Allies alliance, kind of. And so that's why I didn't want to say Emmanuel. And then everybody else is kind of an American. So who, and Asaf is like, I don't know anybody knows him. So I chose him and,
I mean, I feel like that block right there just explains your gameplay. Yeah, you are connected to two. I'm going to need you to
There's a web, and that web was too connected.
Because you look like you were working with yourself. And at one point, I think it was Melissa who said, oh, Corey seems trustworthy. And I was like, to who? At this point, to who?
But it's
like, yes, because you are so, I see though the tangential, you're like, I don't want to piss off Raven. Raven's connected here. Like, because I think also because there were so many hookups this season, it seems like that made it that much more complicated because now you got to start kind of looking out for someone's boo too. And then they just do it.
Which I hated I don't have that luxury, right?
Yeah. Right.
It seemed like Mariah looks up with James. Now they have two sides fitting both of them. Me, Corey Lay, my single ass, I'm just sitting there watching a bunch of straight people hook up. And I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Like, Michelle's getting protection from Callum and the Internationals. Mariah's getting it now. Raven's getting it somewhat. Kylan is getting it from Melissa and Big T. And like, it's one of the things that I've talked about in general is like, it is a little bit harder for us gays sometimes. it just in that aspect, it's like, yeah, I got to sit there and watch a bunch of people hook up and get drunk and do these things. And I'm just like diddling in the corner, not
You're
being able
yourself.
To, like I can't Paul a dick. There's no way. Yeah. What am I going to do? Who am I going to flirt with? Where some people, not to say the hookups of the season were disingenuous, but like, it's also an advantage to the game, but it can be. And people have done that in the past.
Yeah.
But no, that decision was hard because there was a web of people. And that is also a learning lesson, is why I will never do this again. I'm not going to show up and align myself with people who are not actually going to fight for me. I'd rather have a solid two or three people so that I don't feel like I need to backstab people. And also, I'm not being, like, they forced, I feel like my hand was forced some of the times because I was not able to play the game the same way as other people without getting, like, everybody was being shifty and shady, but why does it only matter when Corey does it?
Right.
You know, everybody's talking to Big Team Alyssa, but oh, if Corey does it, we can't trust him. And I'm just like,
because it seemed like you were super bold with it, and it seemed like there was, and I'm just telling you from a viewer standpoint, I'm not
saying, that's
like,
fine.
Obviously
yeah.
there's a lot that wasn't shown behind the scenes, so like, I totally get that. But it just seemed like you were super bold with it. It also seems that, and look, I'm working on it too, but that you are can be a little reactionary. Now, not as reactionary as Melissa and that wine glass she threw, but reactionary in the sense that when someone does approach you or say, hey, Corey, what are you doing? Your instinct is to be like, screw you, I don't know you. Like, yes.
That is a very bad defensive mechanism and thing that I have. And I'm more aware of it now than I ever have been. Let's just say that. But I think I would benefit a lot if I would just take a deep breath, wait a couple seconds, let myself think, let my mind process before I fight, before I speak. But that is that's unfortunately not how things have gone so far for me.
And to be fair, in that environment, sometimes you don't have time to say, let me take a step back. Because where do you go? Everybody's everywhere. You don't really have that time. So,
but you can still digest and not pop off, though, or say something crazy.
Not me.
We know, Davon, you work on that too. We know, but you can still, it can be done. It has been done. Yeah. It can be done. It is.
And I don't want, like I said earlier, I don't want to be dismissive of how I responded, because at the end of the day, I did hurt two people deeply.
Very much.
Yeah. And I acknowledge that. I apologize wholeheartedly to them. Nothing personal.
Yeah.
This is turning into a really refreshing yet messy but refreshing episode. I'm loving it. All right, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back for more refreshing messiness after this.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Okay, you guys, let's get back to the show.
Have you spoken to Big T, or what have you guys said since?
So when we left the house, we were fine, although I noticed she unfollowed me at some point after filming, before airing. I reached out to her at that point. We talked. I was in a different space where I was somewhat blaming other people for my actions. Like, I did ultimately in some ways feel like I was forced to protect an alliance that wasn't going to protect me. And because of that, I was backed in a corner and made bad decisions, which ended up hurting people. And so when the season first ended, I communicated that to Big T, and I was like, I felt forced. Time went past from there, and I told her, it's not fair for me to blame Michelle for the fact that I did this, because I made the decisions myself. I may have been put in a corner, but how I reacted was my own responsibility and it's my fault. So it's not fair to blame Michelle for that. So I took that back and I said, Big T, like, I own this. It's unfair for me to blame them. You shouldn't be mad at them. That's the last time we've talked directly. And then last time I talked to Melissa was when she was saying that I wasn't actually supportive of Big T coming out. And then after that, you know, that really kind of hurt me at a deeper level, because it kind of questions who I am as a person and my my integrity. So I ended up blocking both of them. And now I just haven't engaged with it. I don't know what they're saying, if they're saying anything about me anymore, because it was actually, to be honest, it was draining on my mental health. Like, I don't want to have a bunch of people on the internet thinking that I don't support other queer people. Like, if I had known Big T's everything about her when we showed up on day one, I would have made it very clear to everyone, I'm going to work and try to protect her as much as I can. Unfortunately, just like I did with Big T, I told everyone, they knew, no matter what you're going to do, I'm not going to say his name. And like, I not.
Oh, you mean Huey, right? Just like you did with Huey.
Oh, what did I say?
You said just like I did with Big T.
Like I did with Huey. Like with Huey, I told him, there's no way I'm saying his name, because like, I want to see another gay man do well. We don't do well on the show. We don't make finals. We don't do stuff. I want him to do well. And I wish I had known, like, I mean, not to say it's her job to tell me things, but like, I would have found a way to prioritize her if I had known sooner. And it just sucked that by the time I found out, she was already on the outside of things, and I felt like I didn't have any choices. And maybe that's not true. Maybe I did have choices, and I should have just, you know, had a stronger backbone and been like, I'm going to stand on my business. And, you know, that's there's so much to learn about myself.
Do you
here.
Feel like you undersell like yourself, or you doubt yourself? I feel like you doubt yourself, Corey, sometimes. Like, I think your ability both in the game and even just like, when we get to see the authentic sides of you, how charming and warm it is, and like how people might gravitate to that. Do you think you give yourself, you don't always give yourself enough credit of like you, being good enough, just like you're good enough to not settle for someone where you're doing everything to make them your number one, but they're not making you number one.
So to be very honest with you, I'm a very insecure person. And I think it comes out in this environment, and so I think a lot of my decisions, things that I've done, come from that. And it is what it is. Like, I hated, like, I felt so alone this season, and me trying to find people made me hurt other people. Big T and Melissa being those people, and it, like, I'm not proud of it, you know? And this is like, the thing about me is I can own up to my things, and I can be brutally honest to myself about myself. People may not necessarily understand why I do things, but I do things, and I wish I sometimes handled them better. But this is the honest truth, is I was trying to find my group of people there and feeling like I was going to lose those people that I thought I was supposed to be
aligned
to or aligned with. It just it made me do things that weren't great. And the problem with me is I realize a lot of the stuff in hindsight. It takes me time to realize why I'm reacting the way I am to things. But when I do eventually realize it, like, that's why, like, you see me, like, I apologize to people. And like, I'm not afraid of apologizing or admitting that I was wrong. Like, that is one of my strengths. Like, I will admit that. But I will still make one mistakes, heck of a unfortunately.
We all will. If you stop making mistakes, Corey, that means you're dead. And that's a whole other concern. Because that means you're not alive anymore. Everybody does. And I appreciate you being vulnerable and owning up to all of this and sharing, and even about the insecurity, we all have insecurities and we've all hurt people intentionally or unintentionally. And I hope that if you take nothing away from this, it's knowing that moving forward, both in the Challenge House, in life, your tribe will never require you to act out of character.
Man,
period. Your tribe will love you because you are you, period. They will not require you to act out of character to try to keep up with them.
And you know what the shitty thing is?
Like, be in a space with them? What?
Big T and Melissa were those people. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to judge me.
And you know what's so absolutely...
But I chose the wrong people, you know?
And that's
what the fuck can I do now?
Lesson learned. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you spoke about that, as in you feeling by yourself and trying to find your space. Because I could see that. I could see that you were trying to find where you belong. And because you weren't secure in where you belonged, you were doing things that were out of your character. Because even at the deliberation, after you did your whole spiel with Melissa and Big T, and then I just can't remember. I think it was Melissa had said something to you. And then you kind of like, or Big T, and you stuck your tongue out at her while she was talking, and I was like, that was really forced, and that was not, it didn't seem genuine. It didn't seem me at all.
Yeah, it's my defensive mechanism trying to push things out.
Yeah. See, that's why I love the podcast, because we're now we get the backstory and we get a little bit more understanding. You know what I'm saying? You don't just look like this villain per se.
Whenever the bitchy side of Corey comes out, it comes out because I'm trying to hide something in myself from coming out. And it's you know, I felt like I didn't fit in with the boys, a bunch of straight bros in a house. I don't necessarily fit in with the women, even though that I get along with women well as a gay man. And so I just felt like I was floundering trying to find a home, and I couldn't find it. And you know, I don't know. I probably will make more mistakes this season in lieu of, you know, in that direction of like, where do I belong and how do I, like, what do I do when no one's fighting for me? Because no one was except
and
for me.
But sometimes you learn that a party of one is sometimes better than a fake group of look, as someone who never fully fitted in the Challenge House, it's okay. Some people are meant to stand out, and that's okay. And that's your superpower. And I think if there's one thing beautiful about Big T and Melissa, it's certainly not their social game and their last minute bribes, although I appreciate Big T pulling out the dollars to try and make something happen to save herself. but they like are comfortably marched to the beat of their own drum. And I think that's probably
it's something I admire. And I wish that I wish that I would always do that same thing.
Yeah, well, it's growth.
The mom in me wants to also step in and say, this is not an excuse for your behavior, and this does not, this cannot be,
it doesn't absolve
for
your behavior.
Yeah, it does not at all. But it's so good to hear why. And now we know, well, you know what not to do. And others who may have been in that situation before who may not know how to, you know what I'm saying? Now they know what to do moving forward and not to have that, you know, sort of disposition moving forward. So I'm so glad that you're coming forth and you're being 100% raw and vulnerable with us. That's what I see.
As my mama says, to know better is to do better. So you know better now. So then now you just get to
do. And that's why, like, I came into this thing. I don't want to sit here and try to dismiss or act like everything I did was good. You know, at this point I've had, I don't know how many months to, you know, reflect and think about these things. And, you know, we'll see where Big T and Melissa and I go with our relationship with each other. I don't hold it against them whatsoever if they decide to just not ever be friends with me. Cause you know, I cannot respond, or I can't control how people react to me hurting them. You know, I will let them know that I apologize, and the ball is going to be in their court at some point. But as of right now, I've just stepped away from things. I think the noise is getting too loud online. You know, I don't need to just be called all types of things by strangers on the internet.
Right.
Because of my mistakes trying to play a game to win money. And yes, they were mistakes, but you know, let me learn, let me grow. I've seen people do much worse things on the show. You know, so and that's also, I don't want to dismiss things by saying that.
Yeah, I was like, saying, I appreciate good on you, because I was just thinking that as you said it, Corey. I was like, don't backslide. It doesn't matter what other people did.
Doesn't matter. What matters is me, the mistakes I made, and how I grow from them. And, you know, I will not make the mistakes again. Just like with Huey, I made the mistakes of being very short-sighted and wanting to go against him in elimination. And I said it then, and I'll say it now. I'm very glad he beat me. because it taught me a lesson. This also taught me a lesson.
Which is great. So you really, I will say, you owned up the things that you said back then with Spies, Lies, and Allies about how you would approach it differently with Huey. You kept to your word. You actually did do it this season, which is really cool and great to see. So it's
And next time I'll do the same thing too. I will fight for those who are fighting for me. I will not make, I will not push aside people's humanity and their feelings just for my pursuit of this game.
But Corey, would you vote Asaf in again? Would you say his, that's the question. You know you would.
Absolutely. Everybody,
he just made a play.
So since all this has gone down, him and I are so there's people I talk to, you know, a lot from the show afterwards, and he's one of them. And I think, you know, he saw a best friend in me before I saw a best friend in him. And I do think now where we are today, I would consider him one of those because he is such a very fiercely loyal person. And I think for me, my guard is up all the time. And so if somebody like Asaf comes in who is genuine and very open very early, to me, something about that doesn't trust it because I think it's not the experience I've had with people in my life. So I think that's why I diminished how Asaf's feelings were for our friendship at the time. But I do think if there is another season, just like I think Asaf is somebody that is in my list of this is the number one for me. Although Jay's gonna be his number one, so maybe it's not gonna be the case. But like it's somebody that I will actually look out for and will not say his name. Whereas in this season, I was fine with saying his name. I don't see that happening again.
Yeah, which I mean, your point was sort of valid. Let's talk a little bit about this season and this week. So what do you think went wrong with the other team during their challenge in this episode?
So, you know, when we were deliberating before the challenge on what is our strategy, thankfully Jay called out, you have to get all the chains. And so the very first thing that we did, we had a lot of fast people on my side. We ignored everything except for the chains. I think there were 7 chains available. We got 6 of them because that was our number one priority. And we knew they cannot untie those things. I think Kylan had the strategy around, you know, obviously have good knots and do all these things, but he did not take into account that the chains were going to make or break the challenge. Whereas Jay was able to see that. Jay's done it before. He beat CT, which is insane that he did that. And we just took his advice and we knew we got to get every single chain that we can and nothing was going to stop us. That's where that tug of war came from. It's like, you got me and James, gigantic guys trying to pull everybody. And that was the last chain. We're like, nope, we're taking this. I'm sorry. And we got it from them. It was so crazy.
That was insane. Great strategy. Awesome strategy. Because, I mean, they struggled. When they came over, they struggled. Poor Kylan. Oh, my God.
I know. Kylan's face.
Worse was that in comparison to what we saw?
Like, it was so... Yeah, so you see a little bit afterwards, there was blood dripping. Like, half of his shirt, his jersey, was blood. I think they had to replace it because they didn't even wash out, like, when they washed our stuff.
Oh, my God.
I thought he got a concussion, maybe. I thought he'd have to go to the hospital. But they just gave him a little stitches, I think. And, I mean, he's a trooper because if that happened to me, I'd probably be in a fetal position or something.
Don't play.
I'd be crying.
Kylan's like, fine, let's keep going. Like, oh, God, call my mama.
He is a trooper.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you think that earned him some goodwill in the house, seeing as how, you know, we saw him sort of feel responsible for his team not doing well? Do you think him getting injured like that and still being a trooper, like, helped?
I don't think
that
so, honestly. No. You know, I think... it's just so interesting because, like, we see the power dynamics in the house right now, and there's just one side that really has all the power. And no matter what, whatever that side wants to do is probably going to happen. And so we know Kylan's not towards the top of that list. So, like, I don't know. Like I said, hindsight is whatever. But looking back, it's like, why didn't some of us who were on the outskirts just band together? Because I can win daily challenges. Kylan can win daily challenges. Colleen, Berna, like, we could win daily challenges. Why are we not this little unit in the corner somewhere doing things? And we felt like we had to be loyal. And people, like, you know, like, I'm friends with Michelle, so don't get me wrong, but, like, there's a reason she won Survivor. She's extremely smart
For sure.
At maneuvering social situations and manipulating 100%. Things enough to where it's like, she's not totally lying or doing anything, but she's steering things subtly in a direction. And like, the problem is we all knew it, but didn't do anything.
And she's only gotten better too, as she's done.
I know. She's more so and more good. Challenges.
And I understand your point about if you fire shots in a house like this, where essentially she is taking top rank because there aren't more established vets in the house, that if you fire shots at Michelle, you have to do it very smart and make sure you don't miss, because if you miss, that's a big
And for miss. Me, Michelle wasn't the one to get out. It was like, I want, like, how can I become her number one? Okay, well, Jay's her number one. How can we get rid of Jay somehow? But that's impossible. And then Horacio was impossible. You know, it's like those are things that I acted on, but they were thoughts in my head, is because I knew very well that no one was going to fight for me as hard as I was going to fight for them, which is why I was, when the Michelle thing happened and she was upset that I said it soft, that you won, her.
Yeah.
That's when I realized she's not actually going to fight for me. She's going to, or not just her, but the Alliance is going to see me as a tool to get what they want.
Because it was very me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And once they're done with me as a tool for them to get further, they're going to kick me out.
Yep.
Which is why I started talking to James a bit more. But then, you know, it was a crap. It was crap for me. It was very hard to navigate this.
Yeah.
Very hard. But I'm still there, so we'll see.
You are still there. And do you feel like it was harder for you to navigate that, or harder for Raven to navigate away from that drink Melissa threw? Can you walk us back through that moment?
What
did you guys see that coming? Like, what? Walk us through what that moment in the club was like when that
popped
up.
So we saw them talking. You know, it starts kind of cool. And then voices are getting raised. And I think Melissa stands up first. And I'm just looking like a hawk, because I literally all eyes were on them. Nobody else was talking because they were starting to escalate things. And for me, once I saw the drink thrown, I was like, I don't want to see someone get DQ'd. Like, honestly, I give my hats off to Raven. Because poured a drink
very
on me,
well.
You guys have seen how I reacted on getting yelled at.
Yeah.
If you throw a drink at me, I don't know what I would have
done. How did Melissa DQ'd for that? I feel like my strategy would have been to try and go be like,
to push for that.
To get her. Well, yes.
You know,
because somebody threw a glass. We heard it. I heard
it. Right. Right. It wasn't just the liquid in it. The glass broke. So then I would have been like, that seems very.
Go spill it, because I see your face. Go spill it.
Yeah.
Because I see your face.
I know. We're on video. So, you know, I think what happened. So Melissa threw her drink, right? Or threw the drink at Raven. Yeah. Raven stood up. Threw her drink back at Melissa, but the glass slipped out of her hand.
Oh,
so it wasn't that she was throwing it like, I'm angry. It was like, no, I'm going to get you back. You just poured your wine on me. And then it slipped out and it landed and, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and also Raven, I don't think she's that kind of person where she's going to be like, Raven would be like, I will beat you in the game. I don't want you to get DQ'd.
Yeah.
So that's not how Raven moves. She didn't want to see Melissa get DQ'd that way. But like I said, I don't know. I would have probably.
If you ruined my hair, I 100% would want to see you get DQ'd that way. You put what in my Nope. Nope.
My standard outfit too.
Right. And then Asaf talking about his shirt from Ross Dress for Less.
Said
that he really loves that shirt and he had a bunch of wine on it. I hope for Asaf in his shirt.
Which I love me some Ross, so I love that he shouted them out. Like,
that was hilarious.
I think what was funny to me was the fact that he said Dress for Less. I've never heard anyone say like the full title.
So funny. Asaf, so funny. That was hilarious.
And he's accidentally funny too. Like, that's just his personality. He's not like amping it up for a confessional of like, oh, what can I say that's funny? It's like, no, this man just talks, and it's just like,
yeah, he is
somehow this is entertaining.
Oh, he's very entertaining.
Let's get into this elimination, because baby, okay. So Casey comes out like super beast and has very much so earned that title. Who did you want to see go against Casey?
So Melissa, because Melissa has made a final. And I think this is one of the things I said early on, is if you've been in a final, I don't want you there because you have experience that I don't have. She'd be more prepared for what is it like to stay up overnight or go up a mountain in snow like she did, or whatever the final might be. So for me, it was Melissa. I also knew she's a very strong competitor. I saw that it was a pole wrestle. There was a pole in the middle of the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of my greater alliance. I'm like, I don't want one of the women in my alliance to have to go against Melissa at some point and potentially lose. So if Casey can get the job done, and I saw the champs coming in as weapons to get rid of the people who are working with me and my team. And so it's like, how can I maximize this? And to me, it was Melissa has experience that I don't have, that no one here has on the women's side except for Olivia. Olivia was working with me. So let's get rid of Melissa.
Yeah.
But I think Big T did a great job in this.
Did she? Did. My goodness. Yeah.
Big T is people's champ of this season. She's done an amazing job. And I love seeing Casey shout out Big T that at the end. And I felt like she was kind of targeted at the house too, if that makes sense. Like Casey kind of being like, put some respect on Big T's name in a way. I don't know. That's just how.
And I do agree. Like, there's a reason why y'all have never seen me in these episodes say I think Big T. Like, some people have called her weak. They've called her all types of things. I've never said those words. Like, that is not how I feel about her at all. So I just want to double down and say that. Like, the reason why her and I ended up on the wrong side of a fence was not because I think she's weak. I think she is formidable. She won two eliminations this season. I haven't even been in an elimination this season. So, like, she's playing the game better than me. Yeah. So, you know.
And big eliminations. And this one with Casey, the fact that it got to a 1-1.
Right.
I mean, and
that's,
I actually feel like, I don't want to say she gave up on the last one, but there did seem to be a little bit of a resolve, if that makes sense. You know, on the last pole wrestle of the three, it felt a little like she kind of...
I mean, I will say, like, on my Spies, Lives, and Allies, I felt like if I kept winning eliminations, I would just keep going down.
Yes.
And I feel like that thought probably crossed
her mind. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't blame her for that, because... would I fight that hard if I've been in three eliminations and I just know I'm going to keep getting voted in until I go home?
Yeah.
Like, it's it is demoralizing. But she still put up an amazing fight.
She did.
That would have been, like, she beat Kaz, obviously, two-time champ, but it would have been insane for her to beat Casey. And there was a side of me who wanted to see that, just because, like, as a viewer, like, sometimes I step out of myself. And I'm like, oh, as a viewer, imagining her beating Casey would have been huge.
It would have been so good.
It would have been huge. So but she's still walking away with, she got a couple daily wins.
High.
She got two elimination wins. And that's
again,
why
she didn't
it's
get
like,
wiped out by Casey, which I think is impressive in and of itself. She did
some
win
might have
one of those
that.
Poll. Yeah, she did win one of them. It's just not best 2 out of 3. So, I think props to
And Casey did let Big T gas out. Like, it was about strategy a little bit too. In round two, Casey's like, I'm going to hold on as much as I can. You're going to get tired. And then round three, Casey's going to give everything that she has left.
It was great to see. What wasn't great was that y'all lost $10,000 yet again. So,
yeah.
Do you guys just not care about the money? Because how? Because.
Was it
like
Michelle?
Can you walk me through the strategy of the overall group, please, of this here?
I'll speak for me specifically. I wanted contenders to lose to champs. To be very honest, like, what's the point of the prize pot being anything if I lose the final? You know?
Right.
And so get numbers down that are against me, get numbers down that I think are strong. And sure, if the prize pot goes down to $300,000 or whatever it can get down to, that's still money I don't have right now. So,
more than what I have.
Fair. But here's the question, Corey. Here's the thought theory. It's just a question. Okay, so back it up. You said that I don't know if you realize this while you're in the house or you've sort of realized it in hindsight, but you said that in your own alliance with like a Corey and Jay, or not a Corey and Jay, Michelle and Jay, that you're kind of at the bottom of the totem pole, right?
Yep.
Even though you're putting them at like the top, or specifically Michelle. So you get rid of people who aren't quote unquote working for you, but they may not necessarily be coming to you. Exactly. But then you become you're just making it so that your
target
now closer on the list, right? You know, at the bottom of that totem pole. So is that really advantageous?
No, it wasn't. To be very honest, like, the problem was, it's like, chaos was crazy, because if I vote someone down, I want them to go in. I want them to get a chance.
Yeah, that was really, that is a twist that is like,
I just didn't know how to have the correct amount of leverage to take the shot. And then like, okay, so let's say we put down Jay. Who's standing next to him? maybe Horacio, maybe one of them goes home. Mm-hmm. Then one of them comes back no matter what. Right. And then every other person aligned with them. So like it honestly, it was damned if you do, damned if you don't,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know if the way I played was the right move, but at the time it made sense for me. Yep. And at this point in the game, like I'm just hoping that one, the nomination thing I did where I threw them under the bus, I'm hoping that gives me some type of leverage with my alliance.
Do you like, feel hey, like yeah. it really is going to, or that it's going to make them? Because when I watched that, I understood what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
Well, but I also was like, it just makes him look snaky.
Confessionals after, and I'm just like, oh.
Not even that. The episode starts with them having a whole meeting, and you are not there.
I'm not in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are not in that meeting. So you kind of like, they're like, yeah, now we really
because
about to
doesn't
separate.
It make you like, if someone, think about if you were just watching it back. And again, I know you, it was real time and it's different, but I'm just curious on your like take.
Yeah.
Because I get what you were trying to do and pivot in that moment. And it was quick
thinking. Yeah.
But you showing, though, that you can be so like, unaligned and sneaky, right, to people who otherwise aren't seen as villains in the house, maybe by Raven, Melissa seen as villain, which is fair. But other than that, you know what I mean? Like, Big T isn't seen as, like, evil. So, like, does that
I'm the evil person right now.
Right, so, like, does that make, even though you're doing it for your alliance, I just feel like they would look at you and go, okay, he looks a little snake, you know, like I still feel like I can't trust him or something.
Right, because if I would do it to them, I
kind of.
I didn't think that far ahead. I think Michelle told me that my name was the one up. I think 30 seconds before walking into nominations, and I was like, "What can I do? What type? Like, how can I? If there's any chance that this somehow does not affect me for the rest of this game, what can I potentially do?" And for me, it was I'm going to put the line in the sand so far. That my alliance knows I have nowhere else to turn now.
Yeah.
And they basically own me.
Yeah.
And that was me. Like, I already felt that way, but now it was like, I'm just going to make that feel like that way even more. So they feel like I'm stuck. They have Corey. Get rid of other people because Corey at least now is nowhere else to go.
We'll do whatever we need. Yeah.
Right. Which wasn't necessarily the case. I was still being sneaky. Just not as obvious. You know? And you know what sucks? I feel like I showed too much of my cards this season.
You did
because
show
now if there's, but you know what?
It's a learning process.
It's a learning process, but I think too many people play for 5 seasons in advance and it makes the show boring. And
what do you
Yeah, like everybody's afraid to make moves because they know season 40, season 41, season 42. But it's like, so they don't take power moves. They don't take
shots.
That's
fair.
Like, I showed all my cards.
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
I don't know. What if I never do the challenge again? Whether it's I mean, I have a full career. I'm a video game producer. Like, I can't necessarily always be gone.
Yeah.
For all I know, this might be my last time doing the show. And
give it all you got.
I gave it all I got. And if it shows, you know, if I can show I'm snaky.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I don't know. Like, I felt like I would have more time on Spies, Lies, and Allies to make moves and do things. Yeah. I lasted 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Right. And then I was supposed to be on Ride or Dies, and then I wasn't on Ride or Dies. I fell through my fingers. And it was like, holy crap, if this is the last chance I get,
then I'm like, just
I just got to do things. You know, and I will say, you know, we get our weekly phone calls with people. I called my mom every week, and she said, Corey, if you have to be a bad person, do it. It's a lot of money. And so I had her in my ear, like
not Mama Lay. Okay,
like if I have the support of my mom, I'm like,
pull the horns out, pull them back.
Like, but I do think I still, all this being said, I still think I went a little too far with Big T, Melissa.
Yeah.
But I'm
yeah.
still not. I'm like because I hurt them as people, but in terms of how I make the game moves and like. You know, I'm not the only one who's in multiple alliances or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's something that I think if you have to do, you have to do. And it can be smart if done the right way.
Yeah.
I didn't do it the right way. So,
let me tell
and
you
just
something.
Never give up your soul for anyone. Like, that
Period.
You don't remember your group won't make you act out of character. And that's not the multiple alliance thing. Cause I agree. I think almost everyone to a degree has to like have crossover alliances at some point. But just that they won't ever, if you feel like you have to prove to them, that much, then they may not even be worth.
They might not be your people. But let me tell you,
I learned that too late.
Something that I learned because I feel like you are gonna go back. So let me just, you know, I've been doing this competition thing since 2015. Almost every year I've been on the show. Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that I learned, okay. I'm surprised my mental stability is off the chart. Okay.
Yeah,
what I do want to say to you is, Do your dirt, but tell us the truth in the confessionals. So we as the audience can follow you. Don't tell the people. Yep. Tell us. And you know, and your number ones, you know, but truthfully, well, but the you thought about, are your number one. You
the
are
thought about
one.
That in the confessionals, though, is be careful, because sometimes those interviewers will then ask questions to other people in confessionals around what it is that you said. So
I've
they'll be like, well, how would you feel if Corey said that he was going to
do the dust? Be careful with that, too.
I remember one day, the day of this nomination, I think, where I did the Big Team Melissa thing, I was sitting by the pool by myself, like eating outside or something. And then a cameraman just comes up and films me sitting there. And I'm like, who's talking about
exactly.
Me right
you
now?
Already know.
Because
you gotta get your
why, are you getting,
no.
why are you getting yep. footage of me looking sad yep. and alone yep. by the pool? I know yep. something's going on. So like I already kind of had my little like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What can we expect, Corey, from without giving away any spoilers? Mm-hmm. What are some things or some people we should keep our eye on? You know, in the next episodes, we see like Asaf seems like he pops off at Kylan. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening there. Whoa. Like, yeah, give us some tea. What should we expect?
You know, so one, I'm not the only confrontational guy in the house, as you see Asaf. Well, one, him and I went at it, and we see him and Kylan going at it a bit. I think Asaf is like me, where if he's not happy about something, he's going to talk about it and probably talk about it loudly. I think that's going to happen. I think we'll start to see more. Like, Nerys is very smart. And although, you know, Michelle's kind of, you know, the head of the snake, but Nerys is up there, but she won't, like, but she's up there, you know,
she's
hiding things as
she's
well. Yeah, she's right there. And I think getting to spend the season with her and learn more about her and just, she's very smart. She's also a fan of the challenge like me.
Yeah.
And so she's seen a bunch of seasons. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
I think her breakout moments are coming ahead.
Oh,
and I think there's going to be a lot more mistakes being made by people. Like, you know, I think the beauty of this season is that we're all new and that we're making mistakes that maybe some of the seasoned vets don't make anymore because they've been burned or they've burned people or they've been caught doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know that now that I've kind of made my mistakes on this season, but there's other people I think who are going to end up in that hot seat too. And it's a lot of fun because, you know, we don't see Tori and Jordan and Bananas making the same type of social mistakes that we're all making this season. To me, as a viewer and a fan, it's refreshing to see that because it's been a very long time and it's chaotic. You don't necessarily know what always what is going to happen. Like the Americans, quote unquote, have power now. But like, what happens if we're split up in half teams again? And then there's a half team that's all Americans, you know, like who do they pick out? Hopefully not me.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, what's going to happen? And
get excited
for the unexpected and also more messy mistakes and more things that you can probably say, why the hell do these people do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, do you anticipate that you'll get the sit down of the week award? Any, like, should we just be prepared that there's going to be, and you don't have to tell what it is, but that we're going to be assigning you that award in future episodes this season?
You know what? Probably. You know, I'm just going to say probably. And, you know, I'll own it, you know.
Love that you own it.
Hopefully season 40, season 41, whatever other season I come back in, hopefully there's less of those awards for me.
Yeah.
You know, but what's done is done with this season.
Yeah. Like, you can't take it back.
But owning it and growth and doing better is literally the best that you can do. I hope that you and Big T and Melissa can mend
in some way, really.
I hope so too, because they genuinely are good people and they were there for me more than I wish my alliance was there for me at times. Like as a person there for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I,
and they've shown they're loyal.
Is that I hurt people that were loyal and also cared about me.
Yeah.
Cared about me deeper than people that I was aligned with, but I threw it all
away. You own up to it. Yeah. And you're working to be better. For those who want to continue to follow your growth journey on social media, where can they follow you?
I am Corey Lay on everything, Corey Lay, Instagram, Twitter. I have a TikTok, but I don't post on it. You can still follow me there because I like numbers. I like followers. but really, I post on Instagram a lot. I post on Twitter a lot. I like to shoot the shit with challenge fans. And I think it's a lot of fun being on Twitter. So that's like the one if you want to just tell me things. Tell me I'm doing things wrong, too. I need to learn. Like, if I come back and do things better, tell me how I did it wrong, but do it in a somewhat nice way.
Yeah,
and
so
then I will learn.
For, Corey.
Yeah. No, tell me in a nice way. Be like, Corey, you could have done this better, but we don't absolutely hate you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, Corey, there are things that you could have done better, but Day and I definitely don't hate you at all. And I'm not so glad we got to see. This is the Corey I knew from the drinks and the Corey that I've spent time with. And it's wonderful to see that it is indeed still there. Really do appreciate you, A, not being scared to come on the podcast, because sometimes people are. And I know that you knew.
Not going to lie, I was a little bit intimidated because, like, I've never met Davon. And I was like, I know she's not happy with me. But I'm glad to have the open, honest conversation. And, you know, I'll answer tough questions. And, you know, so I appreciate you, Davon. Thank you for calling me on my shit, holding me accountable, and not being nasty about it. Because there are some people online who are very nasty about it. But you've always been like, I don't understand this, or I don't like this. But it's never coming from a place where you're like actually being mean or being hurtful. And I 1,000% appreciate that so much, because there are, it's just not always that way. And Devin, thank you for trying to defend me as much as you could, even though my actions weren't always defendable. I appreciate
it. I wasn't mad at you, Corey. I was just disappointed.
I was like, it's a reason. It's got to be a reason.
I knew, I had actually predicted this when Day and I were talking last week, that it was, that it seemed like an insecurity and an authenticity thing, and that you were trying to just fit in a group. You're trying to force, you know, you are a star and you were trying to force yourself into a square, and like that just, you didn't need to do. And so I do feel for Big T and Melissa, and positive that you guys can, that it may take them time to heal, but that if you show them differently and show them this other side of you, they'll open up to that. And I, and yeah, hopefully you guys can come back, all three of you, stronger and better than ever in future seasons too, and just run like you guys run stuff. That would be wonderful to see. But thank you again for coming, sending you big hugs. You still may get assigned the sit down of the week.
That's okay.
But just know, sending you big hugs. And it is always entertaining and watching you. And you're right, sometimes people got to make controversial moves to make it interesting. And you definitely have made it interesting this season. So it's always wonderful having you be a part of the challenge, Corey.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Oh, gosh.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wow. All right. You know what? We have been waiting for that interview, I feel like, all season. Granted, the whole season's not here yet, but I'm glad that we made it happen. And I really appreciate the honesty. I so appreciate the honesty. And look, some people aren't going to agree with it, but he gave us a lot to think about, and he owned up to a lot. So now all we can do is give him space to see if he's going to do better. What do you think, Day?
I agree. You know, once somebody comes forth and takes accountability, let them show you that they, you know, stand on what they, which stand on their business. Let them show you that. So give them the opportunity to do that. Give people grace to show that they can change.
We're also going to give people grace to do what else, Day?
To follow me on the socials.
Starting with her YouTube channel. I'm kidding. I'm gonna give
let's
her
not
grace.
Start there. Oh. Let's not start there. Oh. Give me grace. Mm-hmm. Let's not start there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to follow me at on Twitter at Dayvon underscore. You can also follow me on Instagram at Dayvon Diane underscore. Where can the people find you? Because you know you all over. You got the website. You got the everything. Where can they find
we
you?
We in a lot of places. That's true. For someone who doesn't go outside much, I'm outside a lot online. You can go to DevonSimone.com. That's Devon with a Y, Simone with an I. Scroll to the bottom. You'll see my socials there. If you're single, hit the matchmaking button. That should be at the top. I'm most active on Instagram. That's Devon with a Y, Simone with an I. And I'm going to be doing a lot of fun interactive stuff on Amazon, where, like I said, I always give challenge fans who are watching a shout out. So please come tell me that you're a challenger in the chat. You can just Google Devon Simone Amazon, like Amazon.com, and you'll click on Devon Simone's Gift Closet. That's my page. Follow that. You'll get a notification when I go live, and we'll have a lot of fun there.
I know that's right. We want to thank you guys so much for joining us for yet another episode of MTV's official challenge podcast. And remember, if you liked this episode, rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and tell a friend to tell another friend to tell another friend and their grandmama after that.
Amen. And then catch new episodes of the challenge Battle for a New Champion on MTV.
Yes. And we will see you back here right after for a brand new episode of MTV's official challenge podcast.
Just stay away from the chains.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.